Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us in our audio sermon as we continue our series, So That You May Know. We've been going through over the course of this year, the entire Bible, really looking at it as a cohesive story, really looking at it as one large work that has been written by many men, but is ultimately inspired by one good God. And we've been reading through this story over the course of the year, and we've now really come to kind of a transition point in the story, and we are now moving a little bit out of the idea of Israel's story as history. We've concluded most of the book of Kings, and we have now moved into a section called the prophets. Now, the prophets are difficult to read in many capacities, mostly because we are so far removed from the context in which they are writing. And so, most of the time, if you have to pick one section of the Bible that is probably the most neglected in terms of our modern reading, it's going to be the prophets, which is a tragedy, because you cannot understand the biblical story without the prophets. You cannot understand who Jesus is. You cannot understand why he came to this earth. You cannot understand what is going on if you don't understand the prophetic literature. And I'm really not being hyperbolic here. I'm really not trying to make a point to get you invested here. I'm being very accurate. The prophets are a huge portion of the Word of God. Really, the prophets are probably the most important part of the Old Testament, maybe second to the promises found in Genesis. But the prophets are what lays the foundation for the New Testament. It's the connective tissue between the story of Israel as presented in the Pentateuch and as presented in the former prophets. And then the prophets are what brings us to the New Testament. They're going to be what informs us of God's character. They're going to be what informs us about the covenant relationship between Israel and God and how that covenant relationship is going to transform. And so if you're not familiar with the words of the prophets, you're not going to be able to understand the New Testament. Not only is Jesus fluent in the prophets, but the apostolic writers, the apostles, Paul, James, Philemon, all of these different letters and works of the apostles, they are saturated with the writings of the prophets. So really what we want to do with this lesson before we actually dive into any one book of the prophets, and that's what we've been doing for the most part in this series, looking at each book of the Bible on its own, looking at it within its context, looking and trying to understand what's the point of this book. We want to take one lesson just to ask ourselves, what are the prophets? How do we need to be reading this literature in order to understand it? For the most part, the other books of the Bible that we've gone through so far, the books of the law, the books of history, these different books, for the most part, they are somewhat approachable. Your reading is going to be enhanced if you understand the historical narrative around it. It's going to be enhanced if you understand some of the customs. But by and large, you can read these historical books and you can pretty easily understand what's going on. The prophets are a different breed altogether. Now, that's not to intimidate you. That's not to say that you can't understand the prophets. That's by no means the point that we're trying to make. But what it is trying to make the point of is that you have to read the prophets carefully, and you can't read them like you do other sections of the Bible. The prophets require to be read as the prophets. You can't read, for example, the book of Kings in the same way that you read the book of Jonah. There's different things that are going on. And so what we want to use this lesson really as is just a brief primer to kind of get our thoughts around the idea of the prophets. What are they? What are they trying to do? And what do we need to be looking for as we're reading through the prophets? So, very briefly, first and foremost, what are the prophets? Well, if you turn over to in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is really going to be the major text we're going to use today in lieu of using any one specific book of prophecy. We're looking at the idea of prophets in general. And really, our first major mention of the idea of prophets and the office of prophets is going to find itself in Numbers chapter 18. So, in Numbers chapter 18, or excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 18, I was looking at the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses is talking about the ways that Israel is to worship. It's in the midst of the discussion of the Levites, the discussion of spiritualism and avoiding some of the sins of the Canaanites. And Moses is going to talk about this office that is going to come up. And in verse 15, he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die.' The Lord said to me, 'They have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." So this gives us an idea of what this prophet idea is all about. Many times when we hear the word prophet in a modern context, we think of like a fortune teller. We think of maybe the classic Hollywood image of the old haggard man surrounding his crystal ball, and he's peering into the future and discerning things amidst the clouds. And that's not the biblical picture of a prophet at all. The biblical picture of a prophet is less about telling the future and more about the idea of speaking for God. It's a representative who has come to proclaim the word of God. Now, that's going to involve multiple different ways of speaking. And what we're going to see in the prophets is sometimes the prophets do speak of the future. Sometimes they are going to be prophesying, and they are going to be telling about events that are going to come in the future. Sometimes they're going to be simply speaking out about events that are occurring right then and there. And sometimes they're going to be prophesying about things that you're not exactly sure if this is talking about something now, something in the future, or something in the far distant future. Prophetic literature is very, very dense. Prophetic literature is not a straightforward reading. When we read, for example, a story of King David, by and large, it is straightforward prose narrative. And what that is just very simply telling what's going on. Now, the Bible uses prose narrative in very eloquent ways. It's typically telling a bigger story than what you're initially seeing. But that's just a straightforward telling of a story. Most of the prophetic literature is not prose literature. In fact, most of it tends to be poetic language. That adds a whole different dimension of what we're going to be looking at, because poetry is not a language most of us naturally speak. Poetry is going to use a lot of figurative language. It's going to use a lot of imagery, a lot of metaphor, a lot of simile, all these different comparative things. And it means that the prophets are saying a lot, sometimes in a lot of words, but sometimes in very few words, the prophets are giving across these very pointed ideas. And it's very easy to sometimes get lost in the weeds of a prophetic message. And so the first point that we want to make is that don't get hung up on an image in the prophets. If something is confusing to you, take a moment certainly to try to ascertain what's being said, but don't get bogged down in the details. Try to understand what is the big picture of this prophetic message. What you might find is you might not need to understand every single image that's being discussed. You might not need to understand, here's an easy example, what a wadi is. A wadi in Hebrew literature is describing kind of a desert oasis where you see something, it looks like it's going to be good, but then very quickly it can dry up. It's very deceitful. And so that's a very specific image that you might not understand from your own cultural context. But if you were to read a prophet saying, Israel is deceitful, like a spring that disappears quickly, you can understand what the prophet is trying to make the point of. He's trying to make the point of that Israel is unreliable, that Israel is not fulfilling its covenant obligations. So while it is important for us to read the prophetic literature and read what they're saying, we need to make sure we're not getting bogged down in the details of it. And so especially if you're reading through this for the first time, it's very easy to get lost in the weeds. So what we want to know is, what is the main point of the prophets? Well, what we're going to see is that there's actually a variety within the prophets of what they're doing. And so the first division we can make is that there's really kind of three major eras of prophets. Now, we've already read about some prophets within what we've been talking about. We've seen Moses is probably the most famous of all prophets. He is a lawgiver. But we've also seen what are called the non-literary prophets. This is going to be people like Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, and some of the lesser-known characters in the Samuel, Kings, Judges, and Joshua narratives. We've already seen people who have spoken for God. Many times they've been actually kind of juxtaposed with the monarchs who have been God's other spokespeople, who've been God's other representatives amongst the people. These non-literary prophets have been kind of preparing us for the prophetic idea. We've seen Samuel and Elijah and Elisha. They've been prophesying for the Lord, and they've been trying to correct Israel's idolatrous nature. So we've already kind of been familiarized with the idea of a prophet through some of our readings. What we're now going to see is that these prophets are now going to start to kind of bunch themselves together. There are overall 15 prophetic books. You're going to have the major prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and then you're going to have 12 minor prophets. And these 15 prophets are all kind of scattered about in about 15 scrolls that are found in three major time periods. Now, you may be thinking, one of the ones that I did not make a mention of there was Daniel. Daniel's kind of an odd prophet. Because while he is a prophet and he is going to prophesy things, he kind of fits into his own category. So we're going to look at Daniel kind of separate from the rest of these prophets because he tends to be considered almost more of like a wisdom literature, but also kind of apocalyptic literature. So if you're wondering why it's not 16, Daniel's kind of the oddball there. We're going to look at him kind of on a separate category. So what we're going to see is in these three time periods, they're time periods of crises. They're time periods of people wondering what's about to happen. It's time periods where they are turning to the Lord. The first one that you're going to see is going to be the time period of Israel's fall to Assyria. This is going to be about 722 BC, and this is going to be primarily the prophets Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, and Micah. This is going to be the first group of prophets we're going to look at. And these prophets are concerned with the northern kingdom of Israel. And in particular, they're concerned with the coming judgment on Israel by God. They have been idolatrous. They have been following the sins of Jeroboam. And they are about to pay the price for that. You're going to see that there's another prophet, Jonah, who is kind of in this time period, but he actually serves a little bit of a different purpose. That's actually why we're going to look at him first, is because we can kind of look at Jonah and see a little bit of the prophetic idea, but he's going to be a little bit divorced from the context of the other four Israel prophets. The next prophetic grouping is going to be a couple hundred years later, centered around 586 BC and the collapse of Judah in Babylonian captivity. This is going to be the second group of prophets, and similar to Israel, they are going to be concerned with the destruction of Jerusalem. And they're going to be centered around this time period. This is going to be the prophets of Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Jeremiah, Nahum, Ezekiel, and Obadiah. These prophets are largely going to be similar message to the Israel prophets, but they're also going to point forward to a future restoration. They're going to be promoting the idea of a remnant that is going to survive Judah's downfall and is ultimately going to be the vehicle for God's blessing in continuance. The last group of prophets is going to be those after the exile, called post-exilic prophets. This is going to be the prophets where Persia is the dominant kingdom. They are going to be ruling over Israel, but they're going to allow Israel to return back to its homeland and rebuild the kingdom. And so these prophets are going to be Haggai, Zechariah, Joel, and Malachi. And again, Daniel is in this time period, although a little bit of a different character of writing. So these three groups of prophets, all 15 of these writings, they really all are very different books. There's various different areas that they're going to be focused on. They're going to be talking about different things. But they're all really bound up in three major points. And these are the three points that you want to focus on when you are reading prophetic literature. The first is going to be an accusation of breaking the covenant relationship. This is going to be the first and most common thing that the prophets are talking about. They are going to bring forth, almost kind of like a lawyer for God, they're going to bring forth accusations against God's people, that they have broken the covenant, that they have sinned, that they have committed idolatry, that they've committed social injustice, that they have broken the promises that they have made before God. These accusations are going to then serve as a basis for a call for repentance. What we're going to see is that the prophets are going to be not really interested in telling Israel, hey, you've done wrong, boo on you, God's coming to destroy you. Their goal is restoration. Their goal is repentance. They want Israel and Judah to turn back to the Lord. Unfortunately, that by and large doesn't happen. One of the consistencies of the prophetic message is that by and large, it's rejected by the people, even though the prophets do some really crazy things to try to gain Israel's attention, to try to prove to them the validity of this message. And they're going to be really working hard to try to get Israel to repent of their sins. Unfortunately, when this does not happen, what you're going to see is that there's then a final major theme that is brought forward, and that's going to be the theme of the day of the Lord. Now, when we hear the day of the Lord, we tend to think of very much apocalyptic language. We tend to think of the end of days, the end of time, Revelation type deal. And in some ways, that is the final day of the Lord, but it's really not the fulfillment of that idea of the day of the Lord. We're going to see the day of the Lord actually occurs many times. And really, it's God bringing about justice upon the nations. And so the prophets are going to make the point that if Israel and Judah do not repent, they will face the day of the Lord. And not just them, we're also going to see even other nations are going to be held accountable by God. You're going to see Assyria, Babylon, Edom, all these different groups, Moab, Ammon, all of them are going to be held accountable by God. And they are all going to face the day of the Lord if they do not repent. So, these three major categories kind of show us the overall dent of prophetic literature. You're going to have accusation of breaking the covenant, you're going to have a call for repentance, and you're going to have a warning of the day of the Lord. Now, we know from history that the prophet's message ultimately was not heeded. We know that both Israel and Judah do end up falling and do end up collapsing into chaos and into exile. But that wasn't the end of the prophetic message. The prophets kind of knew that this was going to happen again. Remember, they're speaking on behalf of God. God is aware that Israel and Judah are going to fail. But that's not the end of the story. And so particularly the Judean prophets, but also the exilic prophets, talk a lot about the idea of what next? What happens after the exile? What happens after the day of the Lord? And what you're going to see is that there is a remnant that is going to remain, a group of God's faithful who are going to continue the story of faithful Israel. And ultimately, this is where you begin to get the prophecies of the Messiah, the prophecies of the new covenant, the prophecies of a restored Israel monarchy, a new Davidic king, a new priesthood. All of these ideas are found in the promises made to the remnant. And this highlights kind of the final point that we want to make about the prophecies as we read the books of the prophets. And that is that be kind of careful reading through the prophecies and realize that many times the prophets are saying several different things at once. And sometimes they're even talking about multiple different time periods at once. There's a consistent idea in the prophets that's often called by commentators as a now and not yet fulfillment. What you're going to see is that there's going to be prophecies that will both apply immediately to the context. They might also apply to the age of Christ, and they might apply to Jesus coming and fulfilling these things. They might also apply to the church age. And then they might even also apply even further to the end of time and to the final judgment of the Lord. All of these things can be true at once. There can be multiple fulfillment of prophecies. And so you have to be able to read the prophecies in such a way to understand that they're fluid in their application. Now, there are certainly wrong ways to apply the prophets, and there are certainly wrong ways to interpret the prophets. But typically there's going to be multiple fulfillments of prophetic messages. So, with all of this being said, one of the things that we see is that reading the prophets is it's a challenge, quite frankly. But it's a challenge that's well worth the effort. And I don't want to scare you off from reading the prophets, because the prophets are some of the best pieces of literature in the entire Bible. They have beautiful pieces of poetic language. They have beautiful descriptions of God's character, beautiful pictures of His relationship that He desires. Some of the best language in the entire Bible is found in the prophets. And so they are a rich, rich treasure field to be mined. But the best way to do that is to be mindful of what the prophets are, why they're being written, and what they're trying to tell us. If we keep those things in mind, I think we're going to have a great study of the prophets. We're going to get a lot out of this. We're going to see a lot of good things, and we will be able to benefit greatly from God's Word. Thank you so much. I hope you're able to keep these things in mind as we study. I pray that this is all beneficial to you.